Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know I've been speaking about the judgments of the Lord. And first we talked about judgments on individuals and how we can judge ourselves through communion and by examining our own life in light of Scripture, examining our own life and peering into our own life to see what God has for us and to repent of any sin that we have, to come clean before Him and to seek Him. And secondly, I have been speaking about the judgment on nations, and I believe God has the authority. I know from His Word He has the authority to judge nations and to set nations right and to make corrections, and that's why He sends the prophets. And last week we looked at the word that He gave to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, and I'm going to review that again today, and then we're going to look at a bunch of questions that God had Jeremiah speak to the nation of Israel. And I believe America is a parallel to Israel in the Old Testament. I believe the prophetic destiny of America is in alignment with the history of Israel, and I believe that God is going to bring correction if we don't turn back to Him. God is going to bring correction and rebuke and chastisement to this nation, and I pray that you would listen today and let this word soak into your heart, not out of anger or bitterness that I speak this, but I speak it out of love because I have the love of God in my heart, and He loves every single person. He loves the United States of America. He speaks blessings over this nation, and I believe God wants to bless this nation, but He has to be bound by His word. And if America turns away from Him, and if America does not want that blessing, then God is going to allow the correction and the chastisement to come. Well, He spoke to Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 1:5. He said, "Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you," or "I set you aside, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." And of course, we know that the prophetic gift is for every believer. The prophetic gift is given so that there can be clear vision for the future. God says in Amos 3, verse 7, that He does nothing without first letting His prophets, His servants, the prophets, know that He does nothing without sharing with His servants, the prophets, what is yet to come. And so God is sharing with the prophets in this nation and across the earth. He is sharing with them for people to get right before the Lord, for people to turn back to Him. And He's giving them dreams and visions of the future. He is giving them glimpses of that which is yet to come, and He has done that with me. Prophetic gift is not my major calling. My main calling is as an evangelist of the fivefold ministry. I would much rather preach the gospel message, to preach the salvation message. But on occasion, God shares with me dreams and visions, and on occasion, God gives me prophetic words, and He gives me the unction and the platform to speak those words out. And so I feel that it is my responsibility and my obligation to speak out the word, and I'm going to share a dream with you at the end of this message that the Lord has given me, and I'm going to share that dream so that you'll know what is in store. And I believe God is also giving me this message and these dreams so that we can pray, that we can intercede, so that the calamity that He has in store for this nation, the calamity will not come to pass. He's given us fair warning that we can pray and get on our knees and cry out for our nation, cry out for our leaders, cry out for our families, and that we can intercede and stand in the gap between those who are ignorant and stand in the gap between those who are rebellious and have no understanding or knowledge of the Lord. We can stand in the gap for them and keep calamity and keep them from perishing from the calamity that God has in store for us. Well, God went on to say to Jeremiah in verse 10, "See, Jeremiah, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." And so as we consider the future of America, as we consider the prophetic destiny of America, I know it is God's will to bless. He has blessed this nation in great and mighty ways over the last 200 plus years, And it is God's will that He still wants to bless this nation. He wants to prosper this nation. He wants to bring this nation back into alignment with Him. But if we refuse to accept His chastisement and His discipline, and I believe it's already being poured out on America, I believe His wrath is already being poured out on America, that if we refuse to accept that and receive it and turn from our wicked ways, then God has no choice but to continue to allow judgment to come, to continue to allow our enemies to make inroads and eventually to come in and take over this nation. Well, in the second chapter of Jeremiah, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, starts asking questions to the nations of Israel and America. I believe the same questions, the very same questions that were asked of Israel, God is asking those questions through the prophets to the nation of America today. And so these questions, there's a whole series of them. I'm going to go through them, make commentary about them. And as you listen to these questions, you realize the very same situation, the very same circumstances are playing out in America today. And the very same questions are being asked today. And we have the opportunity to answer them in agreement with God, or that we have the opportunity to be in alignment with God, or we have the opportunity to go against God and to go our own separate ways and allow God to come in and chastise and bring correction. In Jeremiah 2:11, he says, "Has a nation changed its gods or exchanged its gods for that which is not God's?" In other words, Jeremiah is saying, have you, Israel, have you, America, exchanged your gods, the gods of the created things, for the God, the Creator, the God, the one and only God, Jehovah God, the Creator? Have you exchanged the created things? Do we think more about our material blessings? Do we think more about our entertainment and our pleasure? Do we think more about sexual immorality and lust and indulging our flesh in the passions of sexual immorality? In fact, in Romans, the first chapter, God says that they exchanged the created things for the Creator. In other words, they started to idolize each other, the fleshly pursuits of their carnal nature. They started to idolize each other, and they started to worship the creation. The sexual immorality came to the place where they worshiped the creation, and they forgot about the Creator. And so we see that happening in America today. We see that many people are taken up in lifestyles of sexual immorality, of homosexuality, of pornography, of fornication, and just pleasures, indulging the flesh in carnal pleasures. And so Jeremiah says, has a nation changed its gods or exchanged its gods for that which is not God's? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. And I just want to say, beloved, when we serve the Lord, either as individuals or as a nation, the glory of the Lord comes in and it settles in our life. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, the song that was written at the foundation of this nation. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. And so when God's glory is amongst the people, then the people reap the benefit, they reap the blessing of His glory, of the weight of His presence among them. And when you serve the Lord, then the weight of the glory of God comes in, and it settles in your house, it settles in your family, it settles with you. And I have seen the glory cloud. I saw it in the Congo. I'll tell you just a quick story about a time when I was in the Congo in 2012 preaching in a crusade. And a glory cloud came down and it filled this full gospel business hall. There was about 1,000 people there in this hall. And a glory cloud came down and filled that place. And the presence of the Lord was so heavy in that place. And people just broke out in a pandemonium of worship. And people started to wave their suit coats and their purses up over their heads. And some people picked up their chairs and waved them over their heads. And people broke out in a pandemonium of worship. Ladies broke out in line dances. There were 50 to 100 people long. And so when the glory comes down and you see the manifest presence of God and you feel the weight of His glory, you know how powerful, how magnificent He is, and what a mighty and an awesome God He is, and you can't really even describe it in earthly terms. And so Jeremiah says that the people have exchanged their glory for that which does not profit. In verse 12, he says, "Be astonished, O heaven, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils." And then he goes on to name the evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Well, if you have ever drank water from a cistern, you know it's not near as good as fresh water coming right out of a spring, or fresh water coming right out of a windmill, or right out of a river. The fresh water that flows with oxygen coming in it, the fresh water that comes right out of the ground, is much more refreshing. It's much more enriching and nourishing than water coming out of a cistern. In fact, a cistern water out here in western Kansas in the middle of the summer, it gets to be kind of stale tasting and kind of funky tasting, and so the cistern water is not living water. It can't give life the way the fresh living water does. And Jesus told the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady, in John 4:10, he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." Well, Jesus Christ is the living water. When you drink that water, Jesus said, you will never thirst again. It will well up out of you. It will spring up out of you to eternal life. And so when you drink that water, when you drink that water through study of the Word, through prayer, through fasting, through fellowship with other saints, when you drink that water through worship, then you are drinking of water that will satisfy your deepest thirst. You're drinking of that water, and it will well up out of you. It will nourish other people. And as you drink of that water, it will nourish you, and it will spring up, and it will well up out of you to eternal life. And so Jesus said that these people have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they have exchanged that fountain of living water for the stale, stagnant water of the cistern. And not only that, Jesus said that these cisterns are broken cisterns and they can hold no water at all. And so he paints a picture here for the people that you have a choice of living water that will give life. And so this choice is for America, just as it was for Israel. America, I ask you today, will you choose living water? Will you choose to drink of the water that when you drink of it, you will never thirst again? And as you drink of that water, you'll know that you are being satisfied in your deepest longings. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." When you delight yourself in the Lord, beloved, when you delight yourself in Him, when you drink of His water, He will satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. Well, Jeremiah goes on in chapter 2, verse 17, "Have you not brought this on yourself, Israel, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God?" Well, I want to say to you out there listening today, don't be astonished. Don't be astonished when you see things happening in America that you can't believe they're happening. Do not be astonished, because you have been given fair warning. If you're listening to me today, and if you're listening to other prophetic voices, even the secular people know that something isn't right in America. Most people do. Many of the secular people would say that there's calamity coming. The economy is going to crash, or something is going to happen. There's just too much rebellion. There's just too much mayhem and chaos, and the cities are aflame, and people are in rebellion to God. They're shaking their fist to God. So I say to you today, do not be astonished if you see calamity happening, if you see things falling apart. Have you not brought this upon yourself, America, in that you have forsaken your Lord your God. Your own wickedness will correct you, he says in verse 19, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you. Well, it's a healthy fear, beloved. It's a healthy fear to fear the Lord. It's not the kind of fear where you're cowering in timidity. It's not the kind of fear that you don't have any boldness to go forth and share the gospel. The kind of fear God is talking about is the fear of Him in knowing that He is the Creator. It's the fear of knowing that He is the source of all wisdom and all knowledge. It's the fear of Him in knowing that He is the one that can give you eternal life, or He can condemn both the body and the soul, and condemn the soul into hell for all eternity. And when we have a healthy fear of God, when we have a healthy fear that He is the one that ultimately has the sovereign control of our life, and not just on this earth, but for all eternity, when we have a healthy fear of God in that regard, then it causes us to contemplate our life. It causes us to think about the things that we do, our behavior and our decisions, and whether or not we are being in obedience to the Lord, and the things that we do are bringing glory to Him. Well, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are righteous and true altogether. And so when we fear the Lord, we do not get angry at the Lord when He rebukes and when He chastises. Fear the Lord, and we understand that His judgments are righteous and true altogether, then we have no right to argue with God. We know that He sees every detail of our life, every detail of every situation, every detail of every event that's going on in this nation. God sees it. And so we have no right to argue with God. We have no right to shake our fist in God's face. And we accept His judgments as righteous and true altogether. Well, verse 28, where are your gods that you have made for yourself? Jeremiah asked Israel, let them arise if they can save you in a time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. And verse 24, will you plead with me? You have all transgressed against me, says the Lord. And if you think back to 9/11, you think about how people were crying out to the Lord, and they were rushing into the churches for a month or so after 9/11, and they were pleading with the Lord, Lord, what is going on? Lord, what's happening here? Why are you allowing this? Is this your judgment, or what is this, Lord? And people were on their knees and on their faces before you. And that lasted for about a month. And then people went back to their ways. They went back to their backslidden ways, their sin and their debauchery. And they quit crying out to you. And Jeremiah says, will you plead with me? Well, I can guarantee you, beloved, people are going to be pleading with the Lord in the days ahead. They're going to be pleading with the Lord, and they're going to be crying out to Him. Verse 34, also on your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but plainly on all these things. Well, you heard this week that Planned Parenthood is selling body parts of aborted babies. This comes as no surprise to me, but it's a stench in the nostrils of the Lord. It's a stench in His nostrils that these kind of despicable, disgusting, abhorrent activities are taking place in America, and people have no shame. Political parties stand up for them in agreement and support them, send money to them to continue these abhorrent activities before the Lord. And God is just saying that you have shed the blood of the innocents. And behold, I will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. And when God pleads His case against us, beloved, we need to watch out. We need to be in fear. We need to be in reverence to God. When He pleads His case against you, I can tell you that God is going to win His case. Well, I'm going to briefly tell you about another dream the Lord showed me this spring, and I believe it's a harbinger of that which is to come. I was in my pickup truck, and I was traveling through the eastern part of the county and pulling a trailer, and I came to great crevices in the land, huge crevices that I could not cross over. I had to go way out of my way, miles out of my way, to get around these crevices. There was no way to cross them, and so I had to go way out of my way, and I believe the Lord was showing me there was going to be earthquake. I believe the Lord was showing me there was going to be natural disasters, and there was going to be calamity upon the land, that he was going to rend the land and tear open the earth in places and in ways that would cause great destruction. As I was maneuvering around these crevices, I came upon people who looked dazed and who were wandering around. I came upon a man who was carrying empty gas cans, and he was symbolic of the fact that I believe there is going to be shortages, not only of gas, but of other things, of food and essential supplies. He was looking for gas, and I believe the Lord was showing me there's going to be disruption, that the calamity is going to bring disruption, and it's going to cause people to plead their case with me. It's going to cause people to be walking around and driving around in bewilderment, and they're going to be shaken away from their routines and shaken away from their lethargy and their apathy. And so God has given me this message to warn the people that this is coming, and we all need to be on our knees and intercede for this nation. Intercede and cry out to the Lord that he would heal our land, that he would hear our prayer from heaven, and he would forgive our sin. I'm going to be going back to Africa. I'm going to close today with plea to you to come alongside this ministry. Contact information is coming up at the end of this message in just a minute, but I want to invite each and every one of you to partner with this ministry. I'd like to hear from you, make a comment about the programming, and to come alongside, write out a check, make a donation, go to our website, gatherTheOutcast.com, make a donation on PayPal. Pick up a copy of the book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. You'll be blessed by that book. It's a great book talking about stories of events and things that have happened in the revivals and crusades in Africa the last 5 years. And so pick up a copy of that book, order it on Amazon.com. And the order information is coming up in just a minute. And so we need to hear from you. We want you to partner with us, and we love to bring these broadcasts to you, but we need to hear from you, and we thank you for that opportunity. Stay tuned for the contact information. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.